are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, everyone, this is another one of Those Casual Reds shows. Tonight's show is brought to you by BMS, Ballorin, Manoukian, and Shack Gideon, one of the finest law firms in Southern California, in the state of California. They give you a real family feel. Small enough to care, but big enough to get you great results. They deal with personal injury, wrongful death, wrongful firing, all those type things. Call them at 747-444-4444. Let them know that you heard about them on Those Casual Reds show. Once again, BMS is what they call Ballorin, Manoukian, and Shack Gideon. They're a fine sponsor of Those Casual Reds show. All right, Sam, let's bring everybody in. I am the one I'm called Casey. I don't know. I hear an echo. Is it me?
Someone sounds too high.
I hear an echo. But anyway,
Hello, everyone.
I hope I'm not known as anonymous in some circles.
You are.
I don't know why so many. Let's talk about. We're going to get into a lot of things tonight. We're going to talk about the Forest result. We're going to talk about what happened with Dan Ashworth. We're going to talk about ins and outs. Those are the main topics. We're going to get into some other stuff, but I want to touch on this anonymous thing that's drove so many people insane. I don't know why people was mad at me. People were like, "What is this anonymous thing? Why are you posting it anonymous?" So it was somebody I know who texted me. And they really don't want their name out there like that. So Mikey was like, "It's weird. Why are you doing that? That's weird." And I thought that was hilarious. So that's what it was.
It didn't make sense. So you could just say what they said and we still wouldn't know who they were.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to be cute.
I like the mystery.
I keep hearing the echo. Is it me?
Someone's volume is too loud, so it's echoing back into their mic. Hold on.
I don't know. Not me. But anyway.
Test.
Might be me. Got a lot to talk about. This is a Manchester United's first show. We're here to support Manchester United Football Club. We all got together and watched this game against Forest. I don't think anybody... I don't know. I feel weird about talking about this game. You know, it's more as a disappointment for me. First of all, I'm tripping. Excuse me, gentlemen. You're going to have to jump in and help me out. My brain is spacing. I got with me tonight. I got my man Sean in Pittsburgh. What's going on, my man Sean?
Doing good, man. Doing good, as per usual.
Got my guy Jeremy out here in SoCal. What's going on, Jerm?
What's up, Casey? Missed you, man. Can't be in the studio today, but good to be on here.
Yeah, you know, it's all good. We got two gentlemen representing the South. My guy Ronaldo, how are you doing?
Doing all right. Hoping for more days. One day.
What does that say?
One day since last MUFC nonsense. Let's go for two tomorrow.
Oh, that's wow. That's deep. You got a countdown going on. And my man Mikey, out of that Georgia, representing them Bulldogs. How you feeling?
Dogs roll, man. Rest in peace, Nikki Giovanni. Rest in peace.
Yeah, salute. Salute.
R.I.P. Queen.
So you're saying there's one day since MUFC nonsense? Is that you saying, Ronaldo?
Yeah,
explain that.
Today, right?
There's no nonsense today.
I don't know. I was just talking about yesterday's nonsense. We woke up and heard that, Dan Ashworth's gone. We just got him.
Yeah, that's crazy. I think we were recruiting him longer than we had him. Isn't that about right?
Please, yep. Well, I feel like his garden is as old as his time here.
Well, let's talk about the match. Let's get this out the way. We are now, what, 13th in the table? Are we 14th in the table?
Real quick,
can anybody see the chat? I'm writing in the chat.
No, we can't see it.
No. Okay. Oh. If you could pull up the chat, the in-studio chat.
Let me.
It's on the right hand side. I see who streamed to the YouTube. That's it.
That's what I'm. I need an answer for that.
Jeremy put it in our Facebook chat too.
I thought you were gonna do it, Mike, because you did it last week. I thought I was like, okay, are you gonna post it? I mean, I can get on it right now.
Yeah, we're dealing with some technical difficulties. The show got a little delayed. And I've got to admit, I am not on my A game, and I'm here just because I love content and I love these gentlemen. I don't want to let them down. And I love Manchester United, even though it's adding to my mood a little bit. I want to go to them for relaxation and a little bit separation. You know, take me away from my world of revolving madness. But let's not get into that. Is the chat coming up? Are you guys seeing it?
Yep.
All right, guys. Okay, let's do it. So, Forrest. I don't know. I'm going to lean on you guys for this because my interpretation of the game, I'm just going to basically say it was like this. Our veteran players let us down. Big mistakes at the wrong moments. You know, guys who have been leaders for us, I think our biggest leaders are the ones who let us down the most. And that's what's disheartening about it. You know, it's just, I don't understand the thing about this team. And I'm going to bring you up, Jeremy. This team has a way of, if we make mistakes, it's a collection of mistakes, and they're not minor mistakes. These are huge mistakes we love to do, and I don't know why when we make a mistake, Jeremy, it hurts. It just kills. It's not like we get a mistake and get a yellow card. We give up goals. And it just feels... go ahead.
And I think a lot of what you mentioned, what it hurts, is that these are the same mistakes that they keep on repeating themselves, mistakes that are costing us goals, are costing us points, that we're just doing it to ourselves. Losing possession in dangerous areas of the pitch. For all the credit we give Onana, that has to be on him. What was he, a hologram on that so-called save? And then also just on set pieces, we are so weak on set pieces. Where was Leach on that one? And especially the one on the, was it the near post? Where was he at on that goal as well? So it looks like it's just history repeating itself with set pieces and just losing possession in dangerous parts of the pitch.
I'm going to go to Mikey next. Mike, I hear you, Jeremy. You're right. I'm the one that's hurt me the most and shocked me the most was Onana. Because Onana's been one of our most solid players. I'm not really mad at him. I was just shocked that the play from Onana and what happened with him, especially with the last moments of the game when he wasted 43 seconds. I just didn't expect to see that from Onana again, you know. And I know that's your guy, Mikey. I'm not really mad at him. I was more or less shocked about Onana's play.
I mean, you got it wrong. It's going to happen. There's not a goalkeeper in the world that's not going to get it wrong sometimes. Didn't do too well. But, I mean, besides that, we shouldn't be giving up goals in the first 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, what is this?
Like, we shouldn't the 6'5 man shouldn't get the ball so easily. The tallest man on the pitch shouldn't just get the ball so easy in the first 2 minutes of the game. Like, there's so much going on. So, yeah, Leonardo is not off the hook.
Yeah.
But we also have to he's definitely to blame. But we also have to ask ourselves, like, what are we doing on set pieces? What are we training to defend them at least? Because now we're looking at 3 goals in the span of 2 games and set pieces alone. So what's going on there? Now, granted, Amorim said that he doesn't have enough time to train, but, like, this is schoolboy stuff. Let's go back into a man, put him off, especially the tallest man on the pitch. That should be recognized. Like, we should know who's the biggest man on the pitch, and a body should be on that person. Delict should be there. Delict should be on that man. You know, but once again, these things will take time. I didn't think we played extremely well, but, you know, these things will take time. I think I like what I see with the attacking. We looked like we could, if we had a little bit more time, there'd be a goal to be had there, but we move, man.
It's a good thing you said what I agree with you saying about attacking, because when at the pub, a lot, the general consensus was we look good when we're attacking, but we're just concerned about the defensive aspect. I think we've given up, 12 set pieces this year? Is that the number, or is it 11? But we've given up the most set pieces in the Premier League or something crazy. And that means it's happened before our coach got there. I mean, it's happened for the last 3 years. I mean, what is this something, Ronaldo, we're going to have to be worried about every match, set pieces? I'm just going to be like, oh, hell, shit, here we go, set piece. It's time for us to get nervous, because it seems like we just check out when it comes to set piece.
Yeah, it's. I feel it, you know, I've said it before when I've been like really pissed off at this team. We have a bottle element in our guys. They just lose their heads, you know. They choke. And against, you know, you saw it twice against Arsenal. Guys choked. Marking space, chasing ghosts, and just letting these guys punk us. And 2 minutes in the game, it happens. It's unacceptable. It's crazy. I don't know if this new set piece guy is going to help out. I don't like that argument that we don't have time to train. I mean, just say it's going to take time to train. You have time to train in between games. I know we got like 2 games every week, but I wasn't too happy about that comment with Amarine. But yeah, those guys need to toughen up. And it's just a simple fact, you know, the game involves a ball, right? It's a ball. Go get it. Go get it. Somebody man up and go get the ball. That's it.
Is Ronaldo being hard on Amarine near Sean? Do you think there is time to train, or is it a new system he's saying is having a tough time getting it in?
It's a hard one because he's right. They have time to train, but they also don't have a lot of time to learn the new system. So both are correct. It takes time. What we're going to, I'm expecting more in January when the games are once a week, you know, twice a week, rather than kind of rush like they are right now. I'm expecting more because you've got more time to train throughout the week, less time for the players off. So I'd expect to see more of what we, but the good thing is the guys are learning on the job right now,
yeah,
rather than learning in on the training field. So, you know, it'll come eventually. We just have to bite our tongues and, you know, just deal with it for now. You know, we're closer to the, you know, relegation zone than we are top four right now, but it is what it is. This is what happens when mistakes are made at top. And like I said yesterday on the show, I'm not mad about them getting rid of Ashworth. If it wasn't working, I'm glad they did it now rather than at the end of the season. So I'm not mad. I'm just mad that we spent so much money and time and effort into getting him. And Sir Jim was number one. He's the best in the job. Like, we got to get him. And then it didn't work out. But at the end of the day, things don't work out in life. And I'm kind of glad that we didn't do the Ten Hag trap. Keep him till the end of the year. I'm kind of glad that we just got rid of him right away.
Okay.
So it shows that they're learning, I guess.
Well, since we're there, let's talk about this Ashworth situation. So we all had to deal with this disappointing loss to Forest. And we wake up Sunday morning early. I think Mikey was the first person to post it. And I was coming out of my... I was sobering up, and I was like, I cannot believe what's going on. I thought it was clickbait. And we learned that Dan Ashworth was removed from his position, and it was supposed to be a mutual thing. Then as time goes on, we're learning more information. It sounds like Sir Jim didn't like him. Omar didn't like him. It sounds like Jason Wilcox was doing his job from the beginning. And it sounds like he wasn't backing Amarin. There's a lot of things that's going on with this situation, but... You know, when you hear everything that goes on, Germ, it sounds like it was a move that needed to be done. I don't know how. Well, first of all, Cheese is saying something here. Let me read what Mark Cheeseman says. It says, "Don't let Onana cost us the final." Don't
let him cough.
That's that Mikey.
That's towards myself. Mikey then, right, huh?
I'll kill him myself.
I feel like Onana will make some goals, though. I feel like he'll make some PKs. I don't know why I feel that about
him. Put away that penalty. I'll tell you that.
I think he does. That's where he does have to get beat. But as to what you were saying, Casey, I think there's just too many chefs in the kitchen when it comes to Ashworth. There's too many generals. We need some soldiers in there. And as going based off on the reports, it looks like Sir Jim Ratcliffe was not really impressed with what Ashworth was putting out, because he wanted something more clear and decisive out of Ashworth when it came to names other than coaches in the Premier League. And he didn't really have a list where he had, hey, I got this guy. You got to go out and get this guy right here. He didn't have someone like that. So what we have gathered now is that Ashworth is more of a organization structural guy. He's more of a guy that puts pieces into place and lets guys do their thing, not really on boots on ground finding that coach. Because what are the reports? Omar Barada is the one that went to go get Amorim. So going off of that from Sir Jerry Ratcliffe, he first saw it firsthand. Okay, this is not the guy that I'm going to want working at this position, so let's take him out. And I mean, it was also kind of a telling sign, right? The fact that on the second day after Amorim's appointment, he goes out. So a lot of those little things are kind of now when you see it on hindsight, writing on the wall of, okay, this guy's not really going to last here. But it's just interesting that it took him being at United 5 months just as much as you had to go and woo him and lure him out from Newcastle. So, I mean, the optics, just like Mikey was saying yesterday, just don't look good. But at the same time, we just got to move on, man. This restructuring has to happen now.
Let me ask a question to the group. Does anyone find it concerning that going into the summer, they all thought Erik ten Hag wasn't the guy, but they proceeded to go on with him?
The fact that one man convinced them that he was the right job is concerning to me. Ronaldo, you can jump in there, but that's concerning to me that one man changed the whole mind of everybody else was concerning to me, but it sounds like everyone else wanted him gone. It was only Ashworth that wanted him to stay. So,
and that kind of removes the Southgate thing, because we all felt that Southgate was the Ashworth guy, but it sounds like he was backing Erik ten Hag. And I guess Ashworth, when they asked him to find somebody, his number one guy was what? Thomas Frank? Is that what we're hearing too?
I think Mikey has something to say.
Go ahead, Mikey. I'm sorry, brother.
Yeah. The thing is, like, that's his job, right?
Yeah.
His job was, he's the football guy. So it's like, yeah, he has to make that, like, if you're going to look to somebody like, yeah, I don't feel comfortable. It's like, that's like with any job. I don't feel comfortable with this. It's your job to let us know if this is the best decision, right? That's why they were kind of mad with him, because they just feel like he was inept. He was just inept at making the decision. So it's like, I'm not mad at them for leaning on their guy for the decision. Now, hindsight, you know, it's always 20/20. It's like, okay, well, it didn't work out, so it blew up in your face. But this idea that, like, oh, it's concerning that it's one dude, it's like, it's his job. Like, you gotta look to the person that you had highly regarded for the decision. And he just got it wrong. If he got it right, we'd be sitting here calling him a genius. All of us were the same way. All of us said we wanted to keep Ten Hag. So we all did. We all were like, yeah, he won the FA Cup. Give him a chance. So we all got it wrong.
We're allowed to get it wrong, Mikey.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't get paid $10 million a year or whatever the hell, $2 million a year or whatever it is.
And then you hear things, Ronaldo, that, you know, Omar stepped in and said, you know what, I'm going to get a coach. I'm going to bring in Amorim. And then it's like, then they said that when we brought in Amorim, this guy, Ashworth, decided he wanted to go on vacation. It just sounds all crazy. It just sounds like we're unorganized. And I want to get into some Sir Jim stuff. I don't know, Mikey, me and you guys, we agree on a lot of stuff that's going on. I don't want to jump off this John Ashworth, but Sir Jim ain't off the hook, because we're moving mad right now. We're going to
save him for last, for sure.
Yeah. So, we were told this is the best in the business. We're getting the best in the business. And then it's like, you know, we recruited them longer than we had in them. You know, so it's just, You know, I woke up Sunday and I was saying, guys, I'm not feeling too much confidence in this club. But then you're hearing stuff, it sounds like Ashworth wasn't being proactive. You know what I'm saying? Does that sound right to you, Ronaldo?
You froze up there, but if you could repeat yourself real quick for me.
Oh, I say it was just basically sound like Ashworth wasn't being proactive. And like Jeremy said, yeah. he was trying to let guys work their way out the situation.
Yeah, I mean, that was a problem. Everybody else was, you know, 10-ag out. And he said, stay in. And then with all this confusion, he came out and said he didn't agree with 10-ag staying. And Ratcliffe flipped out. And, you know, they were bringing in the dates when we decided to keep 10-ag like June 1st. And his Ashworth's first day was July 1st. So were we doing some illegal shit when he wasn't supposed to be working? He's supposed to be in the garden. So that's nonsense number one. So you know, the club could get in trouble for that. Anyway, and it was really, you know, he had these guys that were basically all Premier League guys. The Fulham coach, Frank, Graham Potter. You know, everybody was talking about Southgate, but apparently they said Southgate was non-starter. And yeah, and they didn't like it. Barada, being a City guy, he went out and got his man. He got Amorim, and Ashworth was being real sour grapes about it and didn't show up to the next day. He decided, I'm going to go and leave. So I think he was dead right there. That's crazy. That's his fault.
Yeah, that is crazy. I mean, you can't have these revolutions when you're running a big club like Manchester United where we're at the table and all that type of stuff. Beto, here's some more comments. Mikey got to give him the hair treatment if he does. Man, Mikey, I don't know why we can't let you just ride out on this the hair stuff. I'm ready to forgive Mikey.
It don't matter to me. I'm only saying the facts. What I'm saying is fact. Worst keeper in his last two seasons in the league. All right.
Beto says too much good, sometimes bad. Remember the Miami Heat. Too much good is sometimes bad. Remember the moment. Well, what is too much good, Beto? I don't know. What is he talking about, Sean?
Kitchen, I guess.
Oh, too many people in the kitchen?
Yeah, I mean, Wilcox is basically, he's like the technical director, kind of scouting. Vavell is the next guy who scouts. Barada is basically, you know, he knows ball and the business side. And then we have Dan Ashworth, who's basically like the St. George's camp guy who, basically, besides all the football stuff, changing like the whole culture of the club. And, you know, Ashworth, I guess he didn't like that, the fact that his word wasn't as, you know, as bond, as strong.
And Brailsford is recycling.
Well, Ashworth is Brailsford's boy. Brailsford should be on the hook for Ashford's hire.
Sean, what's our structure now then?
The Barada and, what's his name? He's going to get Ashworth's job by the looks of it, at least for now, and take care of things. We saw some of the transfers that it was Barada that was actually flying out and doing the negotiations. So it'll be him and Hargreaves doing the negotiations for transfers, getting people to come over. I would just keep it how it is right now. Clearly, if Ashworth, who is... And I'm still going to say he's still one of the best sporting directors in the world. Arsenal are looking at him right now. If he didn't work out, then just leave it as it is. So,
yeah, you're right. It's going to be Matt Hargreaves and Christopher Vavil to continue.
They'll be taking care of the transfers, but Barada and Hargreaves will take care of the negotiations and the talking to the player,
contracts and everything.
Yeah.
It seems like Barada don't trust nobody. Like, he's like, I'm going to do this shit myself. I don't want to deal with y'all. Y'all taking too much long. Y'all messing around. I like Omar, but sometimes you got to be able to delegate responsibility. That's what my owners keep telling me. It's just a crazy situation. And you know, Sir Jim, he's just sitting at the mountaintop, and he's just, like, giving hints. And I guess if you don't fall for his hints, he just gets you up out of there. Like, you need to get this guy going right now. And,
the best thing for Man United would be for Jim just to stay at home.
Yeah,
that would be the best thing for Man United. Just stay at home, let Barada and everyone else take care of it.
I feel like
the football guys do football things and football decisions, and let Because it looks like by the video, the business decisions that he's trying to make at the on the football side, we've seen has been kind of splitting on the fan base with the raising the ticket prices and
yeah,
all the other stuff.
Let Brother take care of it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I got a mad comments here. It says, Beta says, okay, and Mark Cheeseman says, Sir Jim and Dan wasn't ruthless enough. Beto said, salute, I believe. Onana, don't pull a Daguerre. That's from Mark Cheese. Beto says, that they had LeBron, et cetera, saying they thought, listen, first of all, we ain't talking about LeBron tonight. I ain't talking about LeBron tonight because he talk about they talk about LeBron gonna go to Golden State right now. So I ain't trying to hear all this right now. Yeah. So we not gonna bring up LeBron's name. Anytime I see LeBron's name, I'm gonna mute you. We have all these sporting directors that got promotions and they're all clashing. That's a great point. It's basically we got too many cooks in the oven. And it seems like it's funny how right after the game they decided to fire Dan Ashworth. Like, yeah, it's your fault. You need to get up out of here. But I thought that was kind of low dirty right there. They let the man go to the academy match, bring his family to the first team, and then they said, "Hey, bro, you got to get up out of here." I thought that was kind of low. And Ashworth is gone now. Barada and the other guy split the job 50-50. So why did we even hire Ashworth in the first place? Well, they hired him to do a job, and he didn't do the job. I mean, they were dropping hints like, listen, do something about this. Do something about Eric Ten Hag. He's not working, and he wanted to let him cook.
I got a comment.
Go ahead.
I was hoping Ragnick wasn't a rumor, but we all knew it was. It's just a rumor.
There's a lot of rumors going around right now. And I heard that they wanted to get the sporting director from Atletico.
All these people got jobs.
Listen, we all love Manchester United, and we think it's the business. But some people could be looking from the side like, I ain't trying to touch that. I am not trying to touch that. First of all, we broke. You know what I'm saying? Don't nobody want to work for a broke bitch, a broke club. And what's the last comment here? Don't cross Don Omar. Yeah, I feel that too. He said he'll do Dan's work. First of all, we don't want our CEO doing sporting director work. That's not his job. And I think it's going to come down to Jason Wilcox. Seems like Wilcox is doing it anyway, because Wilcox is the one who's what we're hearing now is behind the Dillett move and the Ugarte move. And I heard the Ugarte move was another reason why they were mad at Dan Ashworth, because he wanted to back Ten Hag and keep Scotty.
Stackable offense.
Yep. Yep.
So, anybody got some more comments you want to talk about Dan Ashworth? Basically, what we all understand
I want to read Cheese's last comment.
Go ahead.
He said, that's definitely the problem, Case. Too many cooks in the oven. They dead. They supposed to be in the kitchen.
Yeah, I was wondering. I was wondering that too.
Jeez, out here.
I mean,
all in all, though, I think his transfers haven't been bad. I don't think Ugarte is.
Ashworth's transfers? Because the only one I'm hearing,
Zerski is one.
Zerski is the one, I think.
Yeah, and it might be the worst one, but it ain't a bad one. It's too early to say.
Who did Mazzarri?
Mazzarri? I think that was a lot of Ten Hag, and people approving it. That's the masterclass of the year so far.
You think that's a lot of Ten Hag, Ronaldo?
He's one of Ten Hag's players, He's one of Ten Hag's players. That's one of Uncle Eric's last gifts.
Man.
Go ahead. I got something that we can talk about real quick
Do it, please.
I said it yesterday, Mikey. Who did I say that we should sell?
Oh God!
Now looks like he's on the transfer list.
Okay, so
multiple sources are saying today.
I didn't catch the last part. But did you say Marcus Rashford?
Yeah, he's on. There's no smoke without fire. And
I've seen the rumors
everywhere today. Say he's for sale.
I've seen the rumors.
That's the most inflammatory one. So they're gonna post that one. I heard Garnacho's on that list too.
Yeah. Well, if Garnacho was there. Posting shit. That was a big list that came out that everyone's on. But the one, if you look everywhere today, it's on everywhere is talking about it. Marcus Rashford looks like it should be gone by the end of next summer. It looks like they want to get him out in January.
I don't know how his
private life.
I don't know how January would happen.
I'll be not to steal your thunder here, but I saw Beto say that a couple hours before the show started. So
today,
I'm
what did Beto say?
Have this one.
No, that's fine. I just said on the show last night that I would sell him. That's all I'm saying. No,
like, yeah, I mean, listen, for no other reason but we're broke, right? And then he's 27. So if you're gonna get something out of it,
you gotta do it now.
Yeah, you're so gonna get 65-70 million for him.
No way.
I doubt it.
50, man. Max.
But we're gonna get that much money for him when? In the summer or right now in the?
I think PSG will pay 65 million for him.
I think everybody sees how bad he is now, and he's not like a young guy that you could fix. He's like set. He's set. He's 27. He's in that prime. Like he's gonna be him, and like all the stuff that comes with him, like the partying that was a problem last year. People are going to see that. Now, me, I don't agree with it, but people are going to see that, and they're going to make that a part of their evaluation. Like, this guy's a wild card. I'm going to say loose cannon, but he's a wild card. It doesn't look good, right? The optics aren't good on Rashford, and he's not firing. He's two seasons removed from the 30 goal season. And then you look at how many games he's played to scoring. It just doesn't. Today's age, at that age, but I coming up to do it.
Prime though, 27 is still your prime. I think his problem is he needs a change of scenery.
But there's players better than him that you would pay more for.
What, 65? Right? Who would you? Because we bought Ugarte for 55. Let's not forget that. Ugarte was sitting on the bench at PSG. So
how old is Ugarte?
He's like 22,
23,
yeah, 23. Yeah.
Okay. There you have it. 23 years old and one of the best players at PSG. Not to mention, worked with the people before him. So it's like that made sense to do. Rashford's a winger that's 27 years old. Well, you can go younger at that position and with better players. Like Leroy Sané's out there. You can go get him for that, and that'd make more money.
I think that'd
be a better pick. Not us. I'm just saying PSG. Can
no,
go
I get
again.
You. I get your point. I still think PSG will pay 65 for him.
I don't know what the market would be for him, but I'm like what echoing with Mikey said. It's just at 27, how much more upside do you have? You're already in your prime. It's not like okay, there's upside for him. If we saw this at 21, 22, even, he's like okay, there's some upside to Marcus Rashford. But at this moment. This is a player you're going to get. You're going to get an inconsistent player. He's not a world beater. I mean, for all intents and purposes, us United fans for years, we were like, he can be that. He can be that. But I have been saying it to Casey since even before this season started, I would trade away or I would give away Marcus Rashford or sell him because he's just too inconsistent. Other than goal scoring, there's not really much that he offers in the pitch. And like all the reports say, like all the partying, whatever about that is just what are the results in the pitch? He's not really producing for this club like the way we want him to and for the amount of money that he's being paid.
The one concern I have about Marcus Rashford and his value in the market is he doesn't show me game savvy. He still does the same stuff he's been doing since he was 16 years old. And I'm not going to blame the Ollie years, but those were the years when he was supposed to be taught how to read the game, how to attack a defense, how to attack the defender. And he does the same thing, head down, and he pushes either left, he goes wide or inside, and it's just like, you don't want to say he's like easy to defend like Anthony, but Rashford is not hard to defend. Because once he goes, picks a side, that's the side he's going to go back. He's not going to cut back on you and do anything savvy or some techers. And I think he has lost the years where he was supposed to learn how to read a game. And
I agree. We did ruin him.
I disagree. I think he does do those things well. He just doesn't do it enough. He goes past a man. He could blow by you. He could get past you. He just doesn't do it as consistently as a person that's supposed to be making 300K a week's doing it. Like Asala is doing that. He's going to get past whoever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, right? But
he's not doing it. He's not doing it to that level.
I'm glad you brought up Salah.
300K level.
Salah's crosses delivery is he might be one of the best at the game at that. Rashford has not developed that part of his game either. I'm not saying Rashford can't blow past anybody, Mikey. I'm saying he doesn't read a defense to where he should be at. He should be on a Salah level. That's what Rashford should be.
I think he could cross the ball too. Just doesn't do it well enough. He can do it. He just doesn't do it well enough. It's not consistent enough for the money he's making.
Okay.
That's really what it lands down to me. There's no way you could be on this team. And Bruno's another one too. Like with 300, you're making that much money, bro. We got to see you. You're on a different, you're with us being broke. You're on a different pedestal now, and we need to see it more consistently. We can't have you falling behind five games. But you know, Bruno, the thing is with Bruno, he'll get you there. He'll get you there. I'm not concerned with Bruno. Bro, we're waiting on Rashford to start up too long. Mm-hmm. Too long.
I think it's time for him to go.
Yeah, it's time. Yeah. I love him. I love the kid. I think he's great. I think I love what he does. I love what he stands for in the club. I'm not mad at him when he goes and sees an NBA game. Not mad at him, but you know, it just me just you're just not right for us anymore. And that's okay. Yeah, you gave the club 20 years.
Yeah, it's just really frustrating. He hasn't elevated his game. I feel like that passing element he hasn't elevated. Like 1-2s, you watch two guys square you up, you get double teamed, and you want to run through them. Like, they're not standing right there in front of you, you know? Not trying to pass the ball and stuff like that. We got plenty of players like that. Yeah. But, yeah, he's 27 and still doing, you know, still falling for the same traps, the old habits, and failing. And it's frustrating. It's kind of sad, too, because he's a homegrown guy, you know? We expected the world of him, and
we got
coming up a little bit short.
We got some comments we're going to knock out. Y'all want me to read all these?
Yep.
Yeah.
Y'all just want to clown me. It says, Beto says, like any public company, Cheese says, we definitely the problem case. We got out of red. Lifestyle concerns, so put him up for sale. That's from Cheeseman. Cheeseman should talk. Of all people, he should talk about lifestyle. I hit my head on the wall. Forgive me, gentlemen. That's wrong, Cheese. You don't deserve that. Rolling up to the pub, still playing R. Kelly. What is that all about? What? He's a mercenary. he plays for money, and he only has a good season when it's in the contract coming up.
Everybody plays for money, Beto. It's a business.
But Beto has you know how many people told me he's in the contract here? That's the only reason why Rashford is playing good right now.
And Casey, I think Mark makes some good points, too. He puts, my bad, he said, Rashford is not hard to defend, and he lacks intensity when he's defending. Another one he put, he only good when he got a girl and it's calm.
Oh. Wow, that's cheese, right? Who said that?
That's Cheese.
Wow,
what
Cheese.
What I'm going to say is, how do you think this affects him, though?
I'm going to answer that, your question. I actually felt bad for him when I woke up this morning. Because every fucking thing was about Marcus Rashford was up in the market. And you know, Marcus Rashford ain't really the toughest mentally guy. He ain't.
And I feel like that lifestyle thing is an old story too. Like,
it is an old story.
So it was like the old uniform too. It's like, I feel like he's just running this back. I mean, mm-hmm. if you finally decide you want to sell him today, that's great. That's, you know, that's new news. But you know, running back the whole lifestyle thing, I think that's pretty cheap, pretty low end.
That's what they do though. That's what they do.
That accurate. Yeah, exactly.
That's what they do. They're gonna look at it like every sport does it too. I think nobody does it worse than the Premier League and the NFL. Mm-hmm. They put so much stock into like how you are outside, and then it's like it's fine for something because there's some guys that's out there doing drugs.
But yeah, baseball
like
players.
Like, oh, he went to an NFL game during his bye week.
The NBA, yeah.
That litmus test they have them do? What is it called? Wonderlic?
Yeah, like stupid stuff like that.
Like what does that have conducive to you being successful out there in the field? Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I did say that. I did see Amorim when he came in, though. He did with that interview and basically said that shit ain't happening again. Where he went to the NBA game.
Oh, he did say that?
Yeah, he did an interview and he was like, he didn't say that shit ain't happening. He goes, I would never let that happen, basically. Like, it won't happen again. And this decision for him to sell is Amrim. Like, let's not get this wrong. Amrim is making this decision that he's going. There's no questions about it. Because when he went into Sporting, he did the same thing. Like, some of their big names, he was like, sell, 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 and then he got all the younger players in. So there's no doubt in my mind that Amrim wants him gone. If this is true, if this whole story is true.
One thing I just want to say, forgive me for my lack of the European football knowledge, but what's it matter if it's your day off and you're going out to watch a basketball game, a football game, whatever it is on your day off?
It's the traveling. It's not so much like if he had gone to like something in the UK or Europe. You got to remember, like, flying from England to Spain is a 2-hour flight. Flying from England to wherever he went, New York, to watch a game is a 5-hour flight and a massive time difference. So yeah, then my
counter to that is, what if he produced that on the pitch? Would he be saying this if he was out there scoring bangers and then producing and tracking back?
Also, yeah, I think it's an issue because he's not.
Also,
yeah, I think that's the main issue. He's not. And he's
the
still
way
doing
we
it.
Travel and the way they travel is a whole other way of traveling. We're the ones carrying bags and getting in line and doing all that lame shit.
Yeah, they're
not doing that. Rashford's probably getting on a private jet, sleeping on that shit, and coming back. Now, the only difference I will say is I agree with is the time difference. That screws your body up no matter who you are. But traveling, that's nothing for them. That's like getting in a car. He's not flying with us. He's not flying coach with us.
I mean, Michael Jordan. You had Michael Jordan smoking cigars, drinking, and gambling in the playoffs or in the finals.
Granted, yeah, but he produced
a different player, but
that's Jordan.
Still in that final, right?
That's not a good example.
That's what I'm saying. If you're gonna party hard, then you also got to work hard and produce it out.
Yeah. If he was performing, it wouldn't be an issue. It's just because he's not performing.
Yeah,
I think that whole break was a problem because your coach just got fired and a new guy's coming, and you saw it fit to leave.
Casemiro was gone too.
Yeah, I don't like that he went either. I think all of them should have stayed.
Oh, he called Casemiro out too. He called everybody out the way.
I don't think any of them should have left. There's a new coach coming. You should have been at camp. Mm-hmm. I think just for that break. I know it's probably the last break. It was the last break. November's the last break until March.
Yeah.
So that's my that's my only like last argument for them. But
remember when Ronaldo went on the beach for Portugal. They sent him away to Greece during the Euros. They're like, just go to Greece for a little bit and then come back and then you'll be firing. Let that dude go to Greece. 40.
Mykonos. Go chill out there.
Yeah, but I think that's just the issue. He's just not performing. Like, you can't go do that. And as Mikey said, that time difference. Like, when I go to the UK, it screws me up. So.
Okay, we got 10 more minutes. I want to talk about Sir Jim and his cutthroat thing that he's got going on. And is this all these moves that he's making? I mean, we saw a report where Fergie had to step in and let them know not to do certain things. Is this just a residual from us just being super broke that they got to do? I mean, they canceled the Christmas party. I don't know what $100 voucher. I don't know what that was all about. But they said that they gave him
Let me take this real quick.
Go
let
ahead.
Me take that because if you look at what Sir Jim does with companies in general, right?
Yeah,
he's a strip them down, bare bones kind of guy. Like, he's kind of like what Elon and Vivek are going to be, right? They're going to be the get rid of the redundancy and efficiency guys. That's what he does with every business, not just Lucene or Nice or us. That's what he does. Bare bones, not strip it down. We just need what works. And I don't care if one guy has to do four jobs, that's what it's going to be. The thing that I have an issue with him doing that is it doesn't tip the needle in any way, and it kind of messes with club history, right? Because you're taking the name off of where the families of the Busby family, you're taking his name off of the seat. How much money does that save you? $600? Like, you're cutting the disabled fund from $40,000 to $20,000. Wow, you still have $20,000. We have to pay Ten Hag $15 million. Mm-hmm. You're like, all of those little moves that you're making is fine. I'm okay with it in a vacuum. But it's also like when you have to – I don't know if we have to pay Ashford out the rest of his money. We have to pay Ten Hag the rest of his money out. It's like you're doing all these little things that are messing with the club history. And people are seeing that. They don't like it. I get that moves have to be made. And some of those moves are going to take a little longer to materialize than others, like players and whatnot. But these little moves, they're not tipping the needle in no direction.
No, I agree with that. There's like, I don't agree with a lot of things that he's done, but there's also things that he has done. And I said it last night. I'm just chalking this shit up and talk for growing pains right now. He's made mistakes. He's got things right. He's going to make mistakes when you're coming into a new business. I agree. They're mistakes that should not be happening. But I'm not ready to give up on him yet. It seems he's done a lot of good. He's done a lot of good. He's done a lot of bad. But again, with like I said earlier, he made mistakes with Ten Hag, but then corrected it with Ashworth. So we've got to give him time, you know, to fix the club. I can't remember who said it on our show last night. I think it might have been Cheese. You can't fix shit within 11 months. You got to get this is a multi-year project. So yeah, made mistakes, got things right. We got to give him time.
And like what Mikey's saying, he's trying to run this club like a Fortune 500 company. He's a billionaire. Yes. He thinks that he can run this like any other venture he's ever done, and it'll be successful. That's sometimes the issue with these billionaires, that they think they're the smartest person in the room, and they're just gonna make the right decisions every time, and it'll be successful just like their other businesses. When in turn, running a football club is very difficult. There's so much other variables that come into place that sometimes you might have prepared for 5 steps ahead, but some of those don't even come up because a football club is just very difficult to run. And especially a club at this magnitude with just so much history. And it's just everything is under a microscope because we got people here in LA and Pittsburgh talking about it. You got people probably in Asia talking about this too. This is just such a huge club for you to just think that I'm going to make decision X, Y, and Z, and it's going to work when it doesn't. Yeah. And then when it blows up on your face, you kind of come up and be like, no, everything's fine when it's not fine.
I think axing those tickets for the families of the Busby Babes was criminal. That was a damn shame. Someone who says he's a fan of Man United to come out and do that.
Live in a council house. I lived in a council house, y'all. Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, those people literally paid the final price for the club. It's not a war or anything. They died on a plane flying, representing the club. I think you need to leave those people alone. You need to leave those people alone. The Christmas party, that sucks. Bonuses sucks. An Arsenal friend told me, like, how could you want bonuses when we're staring at Anthony on the bench? This is a great point.
Yeah, just take his money.
The problem is he's not on the bench.
That's not a bad position, Mike. Just take his.
I think the players should throw a Christmas party. I think they owe it to the. I think they got the money.
They got the money.
Really?
They should throw a dope Christmas party, you know?
Would you give them a Christmas party right now, though, the way they're playing?
No. The players are by the staff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Let them throw their own money, man. Like, throw your own goddamn Christmas party.
Exactly. And invite the staff, you know, all the people you love, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, Ineos could not come, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. They're not invited. You can't expect any kind of other behavior from a tax dodger. So it is what it is.
I think he's just laying the foundation for a future structure.
Just trimming the fat.
You know what I'm saying? Trim the fat now. So now in the down the road it's gonna make sense. He's gonna cut back. I know when Mikey explains it, it's not a lot of money now, but he's just probably saying this. We don't need to do this frivolous spending here, and I get it because according to the 1958, Ineos has already stacked up $66 million in debt.
Bro, the thing is, you're not gonna make these changes that you're making aren't gonna be incremental. The only ones that is gonna take time that I give them a chance for are these players, like buying and selling players, because that takes windows. So I get that part. I think that's where you can make the most change outside of dealing with the debt. You cannot do anything until you deal with that first. Yeah. It's not going away.
Not when it's like 900 mil.
It's not going away, and it's always going to be there. And now we've paid players too much, and we're looking at being in trouble for that. That's why we're really trying to get Rashford off so we're not in trouble anymore, because we're getting close to that. I don't know. You can't just, it's just like putting a Band-Aid over a fucking bullet wound.
All right, we got yeah, 2 minutes. Right, we got 2 minutes.
Almost feels like it's an accounting decision. Like a CPA was there and said, you know what? You know what's going to help us cost, save some money if we do these decisions here? It's almost like saying we're going to stop buying staplers and that's going to help our balance sheet. It's gonna
no more ketchup.
No more ketchup.
Exactly.
Like Moisey took out all the mustard or some shit. All right, we got about a minute and a half left. We playing Victoria. What's it called? Present.
Listen.
Victoria Pleasant.
Thursday. I'm pretty sure there'll be a show. Mikey and Sean will do the show Thursday, and we will probably do some reaction for that.
We need the Oracle of the week before that, though.
Yeah. Let's go. Pick your scores.
2-0.
I'm
United.
3-1.
2-1 United.
I got it. 2-1 United.
I'm jumping on Sean's back. 3-0. Pause. 3-1.
I'm going 3-0. I'm changing it. 3-0.
Any comments I missed? Who's posting anonymously? Golly.
We're not picking for the City game. Right?
That is so funny. Oh shit. We'll do that on their show. We'll do that on the Mikey and Sean show. Comments, preserve tradition. Mark Cheeseman says Ruben will move the players who are coachable and responsive to his tactics. He said he will. Okay. Beto says, and the photo of you guys sharing of Amarin looking oil all fucked up in Photoshop, you know, y'all know that. What?
What?
And the photo you guys are sharing of Amrim looking all fucked up is Photoshop. Ew. You all know that.
I don't know what photo.
I don't know what photo is talking about.
I don't know what photo. That
Mark has his prediction. He's got 1-0 United.
All right, well, that's it. We got to shut down. It's been a good episode. Thank you, gentlemen. You guys put in some good comments tonight. Tune in Thursday to Mikey and Sean's show, one of my favorite shows on the internet. This has been another one of those casual red shows. Thank you to Germ, Sean, Ronaldo, Mikey, and all everybody who dropped a comment. Peace. Everybody have a good evening. Up the fucking red.
Later.
Jeremy Sanchez and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.